Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and we are live from Hawkins Field as the Vandy boys look to break the number one curse starting tonight at 5 o'clock against Wright State. Meanwhile, the first game, Louisville and ETSU, is not going the way I would have liked it to so far. In the bottom of the third inning, ETSU is up 2-0. Jake Lyman is in today. David Reed is out. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Jared. How are you?
Outstanding. So I want to start on something that I talked about at length yesterday, because I started to think about it last night on my way home. You know, again, I'm kind of new at this whole parenting thing, but I would assume that there are probably decisions you make as a parent. You think about it more even after you make the decision, and you probably say to yourself, you know what, this was the right decision to make, or this was the wrong decision to make. So yesterday, I made the comment that I believe that Brian Callahan should make a statement by naming the captains for the upcoming season when the Titans name the captains of Cam Ward, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Morgan Cox, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, and Sebastian Joseph Day. Nope, not Jeffrey Simmons. Since Jeffrey Simmons has decided to skip the OTAs, in spite of the fact that Callahan's big change after being absolutely atrocious last season lies within the intangibles and of accountability, leadership, and teamwork. We're all going to put our hands in the middle, team on three, and this is going to be what takes us to the next level, only for Jeffrey Simmons to say, I'll go do things on my own. And I made the comment that Floyd told me when he was general manager that the players used to vote on team captains, but he counted the votes. I was like, so when you were GM, you know, how did they go about team captain? How did they do this? He said the players voted on it, and I counted the votes. He didn't say, yeah, if I didn't want so-and-so to be team captain, they weren't going to be team captain, but he said it. So Callahan could, quote-unquote, count the votes and name Sebastian Joseph Day, a player who is clearly inferior to Simmons, but is still solid and seems to stand for all the right things, a team captain. He could just pull the switcheroo. Again, the players voted on team captains. Cam Ward, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Morgan Cox, Cody Barton, Amani Hooker, and Sebastian Joseph Day. Bravo. And it's like I said to TD yesterday, it's clearly going to piss Simmons off if he's not a team captain. Simmons is as entitled as they come. He absolutely probably thinks, I've been team captain, I need to be team captain. So I actually thought more about it yesterday. And I said, you know what? If Brian Callahan were to hide behind the, hey, your teammates voted for it, that might make Simmons mad at his teammates. And that would be unfair. So here's what, after thinking about it, I've decided Brian Callahan should do. I believe that Brian Callahan should announce this year that he's picking the captains. Last year, I let you vote on it. This year, I pick the team captains. And he should announce that Sebastian Joseph Day is a team captain and that Simmons is not. And then after they announce the team captains to the team, Callahan should go to the media, and he should say, I've decided this year who the team captains are going to be. They're going to be Cam Ward, Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Amani Hooker, Cody Barton, Morgan Cox, and Sebastian Joseph Day. So that way, everybody, the team, Simmons, the media, the fans, everybody knows who's in charge. Brian Callahan. Because the way I look at it, and I mean this with all due respect, Brian Callahan has yet to put his foot down, at least publicly, as head coach. I keep thinking about last year. Yeah, he sat Will Levis on the bench. He sat PT on the bench. He made, put some guys in, took some guys out. But he's never disciplined a player. He's never kicked somebody out of practice. Calvin Ridley bitches about not getting the ball enough, even though he got 9 targets. And what do they do to start the next game? They placate Calvin Ridley and they throw the ball in his vicinity. DeAndre Hopkins throws a temper tantrum on the sidelines. What do? They go to the media. They lie about it, saying, oh, no, I was told he was hurt. And then they trade him 3 days later. I'm not even sure that Brian Callahan has actually fired a coach. Yes, they fired Colt Anderson. But it was so weird how they did the whole thing. They hired Bones Fossil first, and then there were reports at the time they were actually trying to keep Colt Anderson on the staff because, once again, Brian Callahan just can't hold people accountable. Or at least it looks like to me that Brian Callahan can't hold people accountable. I'm sorry. I'm telling you what he needs to hear. Brian Callahan needs to show some authority. He has been the head coach of the Tennessee Titans for 18 months. And I'm not sure I've seen him lay down the law once. And it made me realize, again, I like Callahan. He is a good guy. He's a good guy. He's got a good family. I don't know him that well, but I know him well enough to know he's got a good heart. He's a good guy. I want to see him do well. But this is football. And I'm starting to think that Callahan as the coach is like having Marcus Mariota be your head coach. Marcus Mariota, and I think every single person who covers the team, Corey Curtis is going to be on later. I bet you he'll tell you this. Marcus Mariota is one of the finest individuals that you will ever meet. I don't think TD would dispute that. I don't think Paul would dispute that. I don't think Joe would dispute that. You know, the people that really covered those teams where Mariota was the quarterback. And yet, does Marcus Mariota have inside of him what it takes to be that leader at quarterback? And you need the same kind of leadership elements, the ability to hold those accountable. You need that as a head coach. And just like I don't think Mariota has that dog inside of him, I'm hopeful Cam Ward does. I don't know that Brian Callahan has that dog inside of him. I kept thinking last season, and again, it's unfair to do this, but this is the reality. There are a lot of criticisms I have of Mike Vrabel and a lot of criticisms that you had when it came to Mike Vrabel. But that day on the practice field that Jeffrey Simmons, 5 minutes into wearing pads, threw a punch, Mike Vrabel would have kicked his ass out of practice, and everybody knew it. Not Callahan. Calvin Ridley's complaining about not getting the ball after the team loses by 3 points. You think Mike Vrabel would have put up with that? DeAndre Hopkins throwing a temper tantrum on the sidelines during the game. You think Mike Vrabel would have been okay with that? So here's the opportunity for Brian Callahan. Again, at some point, you have to lay down the law. At some point, you have to make people respect that if you cross them, that you will do something about it. Jeffrey Simmons, and to be completely fair, I don't know if Simmons just said, screw the team building, screw the accountability, screw all those things Callahan's preaching. I'm not worried about that. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not sure that's what happened as much as I just don't know if Simmons is aware of how the optics make him look when the coach got up there last week and basically preached that this offseason program was going to be the revelation that saves this franchise. But there's no doubt about it. Simmons has embarrassed Brian Callahan after, again, last week's whole teamwork and accountability spiel. And so Callahan can strip Simmons of the captaincy, which, again, I don't think Jeffrey Simmons should be a captain. I think Simmons is a doer. I don't think he's a leader. I don't think Simmons should be a team spokesperson because he ends up sticking his foot in his mouth every time he does it and then blames everybody else after the fact. And I think he's an excuse maker. But I think he can strip him of the captaincy and say, hey, we're going to do things my way around here for the first time in his tenure as head coach. That being said, I don't think Callahan has it in him. And that's why, again, as much as I like Callahan, as much of a good guy as I think Brian Callahan really is, I mean, I think Brian Callahan is a solid dude. If I had to bet on it, I'd bet against him. Because, again, it's like Mariota. I love Mariota. If he's playing quarterback, I'm putting my money on the other team. Because I just don't think Callahan has it in him. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025. Plus, speaking of accountability, there's one thing this week that both Callahan and Denard Wilson have talked about that just... does it have to be this rainbowy? We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 1025, 106 through the game.
Like I said, you know, just that was my first time going through a coaching change in the NFL. You know, I've been through it in college. I think the biggest thing was, you know, trying to figure out this new culture that we're trying to build. And, you know, because everybody knew the Vrabel culture. You came in, everybody knew. Like, you know, everybody hearing how Vrabel coached, and, you know, did you hear about our foundation and the culture that he established way before you got there? You know, I heard about it. They said when I first got drafted, people were telling me about Vrabel, this and that, I'm like, okay. But when I got there, you know, it made even more sense. And I was under there for 5 years. So I think that's also was I wouldn't say a shock. It was more like, you know, now it's time to really adapt to this new culture, you know, being there doing OTAs and figure out, you know, how Cali want things. And, you know, and I think even with me and Cali, we had a great conversation at the end of the season just about how things could get better, you know, as a team and as, you know, as a head coach. And, you know, he's one of them guys that want to be a great head coach in this league. And, you know, I can see that happening. So, you know, and one thing I always say, you know, even throughout the season when things was getting tough, like, you know, I told the media and I told you guys that I believe in what Cali preaching. I believe in Denard and everything they're telling us that, you know, we're going to get to that point eventually.
There you go. That was Jeffrey Simmons on Jill Jelinek's Nashville Game Changers podcast. And he's like, you know, Callahan and I had a long talk at the end of the season, and I'm in his corner 100%. And then Callahan rolls out this new off-season accountability program, and Simmons is like, nah, screw it. Not interested. Not going to be there. And it really makes it hard for belief. It makes me feel like the Titans, and I always compare everything to weight loss because it's kind of easy to do that, but we've all had that friend that, like, I'm going to lose weight. I promise I'm going to lose weight. Yeah, I'll get pizza, fries, and Coke. Are you sure? And until Brian Callahan shows me that he can hold people accountable, I just have to assume that he can't. Because last year, he didn't hold anybody accountable. They'd struggle in 7-on-7 during the offseason, and he gets up there and was like, hey, Denard's defense is really, really good. Even though when they got into the season, it was obvious that Denard's defense was not really, really good. They'd struggle against the Seahawks, and he said, well, it was hot outside. They'd struggle on special teams, and he'd go to the wall for Colt Anderson. And I understand being positive is important, but there is a difference between head coach and daycare director. And I'm just not sure that Brian Callahan understands that. And I think the perfect example I have is that of L'Jarius Sneed. So L'Jarius Sneed, again, if you'll remember, the Titans made the trade for L'Jarius Sneed. He had bad knees. They said, no, 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 you'll see. And then Sneed, 5 miserable games into the season, was out for the year with what they originally said was a quad bruise. Then they put him on IR and said it wasn't just a quad bruise, but it was a quad strain. Again, people were telling me, it's the quad, it's not the knee. And apparently L'Jarius Sneed is still recovering, and now the Titans are admitting that it is the knee and the quad, which again are connected. It's really the knee. They're trying to tell you. But because he doesn't hold people accountable, because he kisses everybody's ass, because he always wants to make everybody feel good, he got out there and he lied about Snead's knees. And then while letting L'Jarius Sneed go to Dallas, for whatever reason, I don't totally understand, instead of rehabbing here, L'Jarius Sneed, in the middle of the season, gets involved in an alleged shooting at a car dealership. We all know. We've talked to the attorney who's representing the alleged victim, and it kind of sounds like Sneed, at least on some part of this, is probably guilty. And this was, again, during the season. And this is what Brian Callahan and his defensive coordinator, Denard Wilson, let's start with Callahan. This was Brian Callahan earlier this week talking about Sneed's off-the-field issues.
Your potential grand jury indictment hanging over his head, it would seem sure. That would be something that would affect the guy coming to work. What have you seen from him, and how is that affecting?
You know, the things about L'Jarius is that when he's here and working, he's fantastic. He's all the things that we hope he would be. Certainly when guys have off-field issues, he's not the first one. He won't be the last. There's a lot of guys that have things going on outside of the building that maybe aren't into public knowledge, or they're dealing with things with their families. There's a lot of things that happen that just like all of us, you know, you have to separate your personal life and your work life, and be able to come to work and focus on the task at hand. I think he's done a good job of that. Certainly anytime you have distractions off the field, you prefer not to have those. But he's done a good job of handling it and keeping, you know, the work here the main thing, and dealing with the things off the field when he has to deal with them. But I would say that's not unique to anybody in particular. I think that happens to a lot more guys than people realize. Again, maybe not necessarily civil cases or court cases, but just life in general. It can be hard to separate sometimes, and I think he's done a good job of it.
He's done a great job. Not one hint of disappointment with what happened. Again, during the season, not one hint of disappointment. Mike Vrabel was talking about Stephon Diggs, who wasn't at practice, but he doesn't have to be at practice because it's voluntary and everything else. And Vrabel talked about how, you know, in New England, we stress good decisions. Vrabel lets you know without saying it, he's unhappy with Stephon Diggs partying with the hoes on the boat with the cocaine. Or, again, excuse me, alleged cocaine. Hope I didn't go too far there. But again, like he told you, Vrabel, he's disappointed. Vrabel holds people accountable. This was Denard Wilson yesterday when it came to L'Jarius Sneed and just how wonderful L'Jarius Sneed is.
Anytime L'Jarius is in the meetings, perfect young man. He speaks. He asks the right questions. He's engaging. He talks to the young men. You know, he has a voice in the room. He has the experience. You know, the thing about him is just getting healthy. And right now he's still working through the process, but he's working diligently in the training room to get there. So when he gets on the field, you know, I expect high expectations from him. He does from himself. He's another guy that's very prideful. Last year didn't go the way he wanted because of injuries and because of, you know, maybe left a play or two here or there. He understands that. He has something to prove. L'Jarius got to this position because he has a chip on his shoulder. He was an underdog. He was a guy that has worked his way up, you know, from college to being a later round draft pick to starting to getting paid by another organization. You know, I have all the faith in the world on L'Jarius Sneed. When he's out there on the field, he's a dominant force.
Okay. So when it comes to the Titans, they can't say anything bad ever. They can't show just a hint of disappointment. And this was just like last year, the off season of toxic positivity. Like, I just don't get it. Like, show me some disappointment. Show me that you can hold people accountable. Like, show me something. I said this in the first segment. Until Callahan can put his foot down with anybody, can show some unhappiness with anybody, I'm going to have a hard time believing there's going to be any real change. And I'm not saying you have to be Vrabel, where you have to be upset about everything all the time. But Don't you have to call a spade every now and then? And the Titans just can't do it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Somebody asked me, how did I know the women on the boat with Stephon Diggs were ladies of the night? I guess I don't know that. Would it be wrong to assume, Jake, that like they're definitely like some kind of strippers, Instagram models, something on that boat, right?
I think there's definitely you can make some assumptions just based off of the situation that they're in.
It is what it is. He was out there on the boats with the thong bikinis and everything else, you know. It was a vibe. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. And when it comes to holding people accountable, and I know Belichick is out there, but I have heard some Belichick stuff that I'm like, if he can do this, can't Callahan kind of do some of it? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 of the game.
If I didn't point him out, then everybody walks out there feeling like, well, they got yelled at except for him. But when I could, you know, make points to Tom, then Tom could say, hey, fellas, look, he got after me too. He got after all of us. We got to get it going. And I learned that from Coach Knight. Coach Knight did that with Jordan in the Olympics. And he told Jordan, I'm going to be on you. I'm going to be on you hard, especially on defense, because I know you can take it. Jordan says, bring it on. I just want everybody else to play better. Bring it on. Because if you're yelling at Michael Jordan,
you're like,
everybody else got to come down, you know? And so a lot of times I would tell Tom, hey, Tom, it could get a little rough in there today. Just want to let you know. He goes, well, make sure you include me because I need to be part of it. Don't worry, I'll include you, Tom. Don't worry about that.
That was Bill Belichick on the Pivot podcast talking about how he used to just give Brady the business back in the day. And I will tell you, that is absolutely what happened. Because, Floyd told me that, like, hey, Belichick would get in those film sessions and just ream Tom out a new one. Ocho Cinco said that when he joined the Patriots, the first film session, Belichick was just giving the business to Brady. If Belichick can do that, and again, I'm not saying everything Belichick does is perfect. I'm not saying Belichick is a saint. And I think Belichick screwed up a lot at the end, and I think Belichick's probably screwing up a lot right now. But if Belichick can do that, Brian Callahan has to hold people accountable too. So this is from the Raw Room podcast, and I did my best to edit this. So, Jake, if I didn't do a great job, just keep an eye on it. But this is from the Raw Room podcast. Darren Bates has a podcast. They had Brandon Bolden, who was a running back on those New England Patriot teams. You know, the second three championship teams. And Brandon Bolden was talking about how Bill used to get on them and Brady and everything else. So listen to this cut. And again, ask yourself, could Brian Callahan do this?
That year we went to play Seattle in the Super Bowl. We played the Chiefs. We went dub. That's when I think Alex Smith was still there. The Chiefs put a 40-piece on us. Tom ain't have a good game. None of us did. But we got in there. Lights went off. Bill went in there. Started the film. Stopped the film. Talked shit. Started the film. Stopped the film. Talked some more shit. Started the film. Tom threw a pick. Stopped it. And we supposed to have the best fucking quarterback in the league. And he plays like this. My dog TB say, he reached down, grabbed his shit,
got the fuck out of there,
and walked smooth out the
damn.
Now, with my seat at, I'm against the wall, and I could see into lock. That boy went straight to his locker, grabbed his phone. I was like, no, no, please don't tell me. Don't do that. Not right now. Not right now. Hey, 12, you straight? Oh, yeah. I'm good. He just fucked up. Boy, that nigga. We didn't have a drop pass in practice for like a month and a half.
So, again, that's holding people accountable. Watch the film. Bill gets on his tush, and Brady's like, yeah, I'm not happy about it. You'll see. And then Brady and the Patriots went out there and played better. Can Callahan do that? And I just haven't seen anything that makes me think he can do that. You know, TD tells the story all the time about when Callahan, you know, ripped the Bengals a new one because they didn't play well at San Francisco or something, and that's great. But I haven't seen a whole lot of that here. I haven't seen a whole lot of DeAndre Hopkins, go pack your stuff up, go sit in the corner. You know, again, Callahan got up to the podium after the game was over, after DeAndre threw that fit on the sidelines of Buffalo, where the CBS broadcast was saying, oh, clearly something's wrong with DeAndre. And Callahan was like, oh, yeah, I think he was hurt. That's why he didn't go back in the game. Just making excuses for everybody else. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Dustin says, he is a great guy, but I sense it. He is not a leader. You are correct. He and Kevin Durant do not have that dog, the it factor, the alpha male attitude. Callahan will not be here after this year. He's too soft-spoken all the time and makes excuses for his guys. Be brash, be assertive, get your acorns. Or it says, give your acorns a tug, brother. I might steal that one. I like that. Everyone was tired of Vrabel being brash, short, and a smartass, but I loved it. I know he's got a backbone, a pair. Callahan might be some young 11-year-old in the choir singing a very high-pitched out there and coaching. I miss Vrabel because he is that dude. Callahan is not. Again, this is what I'll say about the Vrabel front when it comes to Vrabel and Callahan, because there's a lot of talk about, you know, this guy's a bad coach. Vrabel, we had Vrabel, and it was so great with Vrabel. Look at the coaching staff in New England. Todd Downing, Stretch, the strength coach that got all the players injured. Look at the Vrabel coaching staff. If you want Vrabel, you get the Vrabel clown coaching staff. Like, again, that's what you get. So I would say Vrabel, it was time for Vrabel to go, and they should have fired Rand at the same time. And they absolutely blew it by not doing that because their heads, again, talking about the Titans, were so far up their own rear ends. And they absolutely blew it, and they shouldn't have done that. They should have fired them both. But I'm not missing Vrabel around here. And I think Vrabel's a good coach. But that is what happens is when you fire a mean coach, you always go out and hire a nice coach. And then the Titans are going to fire Callahan if he can't hold people accountable, which, again, I said if. If he can't hold people accountable, they're going to fire him, and then he's going to go out there, and they're going to go hire a mean coach, because that's what you do. One texter says, as much as you get on my nerves, I totally agree with you about Callahan. Another question, did the receivers look faster than they did last year? I kind of felt like Io Manor and DK looked like NFL receivers. You know, they didn't look like great NFL receivers, but they looked like NFL receivers out there. Van Jefferson. I was surprised by how big Van Jefferson looked to me. I mean, I'll just tell you right now, again, it was one OTA. So it's not like I can sit here and give you a total evaluation of everything. I think Van Jefferson's probably going to make the football team. So that would be five receivers before we get to anybody else. You know, Prochet, Oliver, Restrepo, etc. But I definitely took notice of Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson's a big guy. Did they look faster? Hard for me to be able to tell that. One texter says, everyone else doesn't enjoy toxic negativity, just you. You don't have to be an a-hole to get your point across. Well, I just don't think that Brian Callahan's doing any getting his point across. Again, last week, his whole point was, you know, we're going to have this off-season teamwork and accountability, and guys are going to buy in. And this is going to translate to the football field in the fall. And you will see. See, I don't believe that this stuff is going to translate to the football field in the fall. I think that that's like, you know, the corporate team-building stuff you have to do on a retreat that you really don't want to do. That's what I think that is. But he thinks this is going to work. And then Jeffrey Simmons blows it off. It's hard to overlook that. Texter says, when do we expect Legarius Sneed to get suspended? It's a good question. I don't know. You know, some people say that they won't suspend him. I think they will suspend him. You know, I keep going back to that Denard Wilson cut that we played, where Denard Wilson was just, oh, man, nobody works harder than Legarius Sneed. Nobody has a higher expectation for themselves than Legarius Sneed. He's working diligently to get back out there every day. He's great in the classroom. Does it really feel that way? You know, again, take one of these just relentlessly hard workers. One of these guys that we know, Derrick Henry. He's a relentlessly hard worker. Let's take him. If you found out that Derrick Henry was hurt and was allegedly involved in a car dealership shooting, as Legarius Sneed was allegedly involved in, A, how shocked would you be? And B, would you really expect that Derrick Henry wouldn't be, you know, oh no, my quads hurt, my knees hurt, I'm out here getting the recovery that, you know, it's not like, and again, I'm not friends with Derrick Henry, but I got to assume Derrick Henry has a life outside of football. So when Denard Wilson just tells you, oh, he's working so hard, oh, Sneed, he's so dedicated, oh, he has such high expectations, oh, that sounds nice, but it looks like Sneed took you guys for a cash grab, got his money, and, you know, whatever you guys do, I'll be out here in Dallas, which, again, is not the Derrick Henry way. One person says it's unfortunate that they overcorrected with Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan. I want Brian Callahan to succeed, but you rarely hit the nail on the head with a rebound. I mean, you can absolutely have fire a coach who you really, really like and try to go out and hire the opposite, and it can work. It can. Doesn't always work, but it can work. But I would agree with you that they care too much about people in the building being happy. And I don't mean being happy so that it would be I mean, like, again, everybody, are you having a nice, young, sunshiny, rainbowy day? Albert Breer said to us at the Super Bowl, and I think we've got that cut somewhere, where he said, this is Albert Breer, who I think of all the insiders has the best information. Albert Breer said on our show in the Super Bowl, this is going to sound so stupid, but from what I was told, Amy wanted the building to be a happier place. Well, that's how you get Brian Callahan, who won't tell anybody that they need to do their job better. Wes in Hermitage says, I can't take any Titans fans seriously that don't think that Jeffrey Simmons missing camp is a big deal. It absolutely is a big deal. The pure lack of leadership and professionalism that Simmons is carrying could be toxic in the worst way. I mean, my issue with Simmons is, I think Simmons is so unaware. Like, Simmons doesn't put up stats. When you're paid the money he's put up, you're expected to put up stats. He doesn't put up stats. Then he makes excuses for why he doesn't put up stats. So now he expects all of us to sit there and say, oh, okay, well, Jeffrey said he was double-teamed, so we should just accept that. Like, brother, this is the NFL. Nobody accepts any of that. And then he says things like, after the game, he, you know, plays team spokesperson and says no one runs the ball in the Tennessee Titans. And then they run the ball. Malik Willis and Josh Jacobs just run the ball right up his tush. And it's like, well, don't blame me. You don't get it both ways. And I think Simmons is always looking for it to be both ways. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are live out at Hawkins Field, where once again the Vandy boys are going to look to try to break the number one curse. The number one seed in the baseball tournament, their game is at 5 o'clock today. Meanwhile, Louisville has taken a lead, although I won't get comfortable. Louisville has taken a 6-2 lead in the bottom of the fifth on East Tennessee State. 615-737-1025. So the Stanley Cup Final rematch is set. And I have a thought, because the hockey world is having just a complaint fest about something that I get it, but we should get to next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 of the game.
Bostonites. Off Ekholm, and out! McDavid's got a break! Connor McDavid scores! A silencer here for Connor McDavid! And the Oilers restore a two-goal lead.
Oh, the explosiveness of McDavid again in full force. Look at the smile going to the bench. It's the block by Ekholm that creates this chance. Dallas setting up for another good opportunity with a hit with all kinds of pressure. And watch the way that McDavid uses that pressure to his advantage. As a scorer, you're coming in with all kinds of speed. It's a tough read for DeSmith. Pull it to the backhand. As soon as you get DeSmith to go down, bang, right there, you pull it right back.
There you go. That was Connor McDavid last night putting one in. The Stanley Cup rematch is on, Florida versus Edmonton. I will be fascinated to see what the TV ratings are, because last year's Stanley Cup final was electric, and the last game drew massive ratings, and now you kind of get the rematch between what it clearly is the two best teams in Edmonton and Florida. But there is a hockey discussion that is kind of taken over social media. People are worked up about it. Some people are for it. Some people are against it. But there is a reality within all of these sports, but specifically the NHL, that isn't as big of a deal in the other sports, and that is the taxation. And I heard the Midday Show talking to Elliot Friedman about this yesterday. There are a lot of people that are upset that the teams keep winning in the Eastern Conference, that keep going to the Stanley Cup Final. Low tax, Florida Panthers. Low tax, Tampa Bay Lightning. Western Conference, Vegas, Dallas, etc. No tax. No state income tax. Since 2017, the Sun Belt, as it is referred to, keeps constantly getting teams into the Stanley Cup Final. And one thing that is obvious is there's not a state income tax there. And when I was in Toronto over the weekend, I was talking to my buddies from college, one of whom played in the major leagues, and I was talking about the fact that, I mean, it's kind of a big deal in football. It's not really a big deal in football. Every now and then it comes up during NFL free agency of, you know, no state income tax in Tennessee. But it is a massive deal when it comes to hockey. And here's why. Number one, the mentality of the player. The football player mentality is, I want to be the highest paid. That is always something you see. So they finagle the contract to look however they want it to look, but it ends up being something along the lines of, you know, oh, the last 2 years of the deal are kind of fake anyways, but I'm the highest paid running back in the league. But again, the actual cash you're getting doesn't make you the highest paid. It just on paper says you're the highest paid, and that's what these guys want. So they don't care if that's in high tax New York or if that's in low tax Florida. The second thing is there are no Canadian teams in the NFL. So when you are in this position, as far as all this is concerned, when you are in this position, there is, I think, a sentiment that, hey, with the high tax, the low tax, there is a sentiment of, well, you know, you got to deal with what you got to deal with. But what the Florida Panthers are able to pay their players, it's different than what teams in Toronto are able to pay. Teams in Montreal are able to pay. Teams in, you know, again, Winnipeg are able to play. And I was talking with my buddies this weekend, and I said, imagine being a player on the Florida Panthers. You get to live in Fort Lauderdale, and this is during the winter. You're there from October until June. So you get to live wherever you want in the offseason, but October to June, you get to live in Fort Lauderdale. There's no state income tax. It's 75 every day, or you can go to Winnipeg, where you have to go through underground tunnels and you get taxed 53% of your income. Now, which one would you choose? That's not nothing. Here's the problem with that, though. How do you make it fair? I don't think there is a way to make it fair. Like, I don't think there's a way. What, are they going to overhaul the tax code just because, well, it's a higher taxes here than it is there? That's been the case forever. What are you going to do with the fact that there's nicer weather in Florida, Vegas, Nashville, Dallas than there is in, say, Montreal or Winnipeg. What are you going to do about the fact that some of these cities kind of stink? I mean, if I was a baseball player and I had my choice of where I could play, and it's like, yeah, I could play in New York, I could play in L.A., I could play in Miami, or I could play in Milwaukee. Yeah, I'd probably pass on Milwaukee. That's always been the case. It's not a coincidence, in my opinion, that the no state income tax teams are constantly winning. But it is, I think, something that is kind of irreparable. You can't fix it. You can't make it fair. You just have to deal with it. And here's where it really matters. Where it really matters is, for instance, Sam Reinhart or Sam Bennett. You know, one of these guys that, you know, gets to free agency or got to free agency. The Florida Panthers can look at him and say, hey, our $8 million, our $9 million is as good as $13 million to them. That's where you end up saving on the player. But there's no real way to change that. And at the same time, Edmonton has high taxes, and I'm not sure anybody'd want to live in Edmonton, you know, by choice. But guess what? They're in there. And why are they in there? Because they got the number one pick when it was Connor McDavid. That's why they're in there. Wes and Herman says he's trying to buy tickets for tonight's game. Is it seriously sold out? Yes, it is seriously sold out for tonight's game, unfortunately. Just telling it like it is. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, so the SEC spring meetings are over, and it is obvious where the SEC coaches and its commissioner sits. It's obvious where the ACC and the Big 12 sit. It's obvious where the Big 10 sits. The SEC ADs, not so much. We'll get to that next. Hillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.